Are you all ready?
Very sure.
Do we have a council online?
Council's online.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. And this is a continuance from December 3rd. An apology, we had the Colorado Counties Incorporated, so therefore we moved the this meeting 1 week forward. So having said that, today is Tuesday, December 10, 2024. It is 9 a.m. We're calling this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Commissioners, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to read a poem by a very good friend who lives out in Camp. His name is John Marone, and I think it would suffice as our prayer for the day. Heavenly Father and good people, how very fortunate we are to live in a community as kind as can be. People who care that others may feel, neighbors helping each other and knowing what's real. Our young people happy and respecting dear mom and dad. Helping our seniors makes us very glad. With all the troubles and news not so good, we are truly grateful to live where it's just understood. Help each other, care, share all you can. By pulling together, we'll take care of whatever's at hand. With the holidays here and as good times abound, thanking each other as we get around. I'm sure I speak for the community when I say thank you, our neighbors, and thank you, our friends. You made our year a good one, and we're very proud to say good wishes and happiness through these holidays. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Pass on to Mr. Moroni, Commissioner Haas. Beautiful, beautiful words. Roll call, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Peter Lopez.
I'm here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dornkamp?
One change, Commissioner, I've asked the board to remove item 9H.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion on the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the agenda with that deletion.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to move all the way down to, we don't have any items on section two. Section three, reading of correspondence. Commissioner, committee reports. Commissioner Luis Lopez, would you like to go first?
Thank you, Chairman. The 20th of November, the Los Angeles Huerfano County Board of Health convened and went forward with adopting of our budgets and we're going to be having another vacancy on the board. It hasn't been announced yet, the individual, but that will be coming soon. So we'll be reaching out for a board member to apply and for the vacancy committee to make the appointing here in the near future, from what I understand. So the communicable diseases reports were very similar to what they were the month before. The COVID-19 is still prevalent in the community. It's just not as deadly or as it was 4 years ago, and it continues to be less and less. However, still a significant illness that will be with us for decades to come. So unfortunate, like the flu, we'll be here forever. And I want to thank our Board of Health and the Health Department and all their directors for all they do for all the communicable diseases and for all the things, other programs that they do, including the vaping and smoking deterrence and tobacco deterrence and other programs that they do. We have seen a significant cut in the HULA monies, and so those programs will be taking some losses. It won't be have as much funding as available as before due to the state budget restraints and what's happening at the Capitol with the Joint Budget Committee and what they're moving on for and all the other programs that are out there. So kudos again to Ken Gonzalez and the Health Department for all they do for Los Angeles and Huerfano County. On the 21st, we had a short meeting for the Board of County Commissioners regarding the EIF grant. We moved forward with that application. And on the 2nd, I headed up to the CCI conferences. The first and foremost, I had a front range passenger rail budget hearing meeting with my chairman and chief of staff, trying to balance a budget to submit to Department of Local Affairs. It's unfortunate that there is no funding coming forward from Senate Bill 230 to Front Range Rail, as identified in the bill, which was questioned. I was able to, at the conferences, question Governor Polis regarding that and what his stance is moving forward in securing funding for the success of the Front Range Passenger Rail with future ballot measure and operational costs for the year 2026. We do have a balanced budget for 2025, but after that, the funding mechanism sure is starting to dissipate and be gone from what we started off in our original $2 million. We do have $14 million in the banks, and we are using and utilizing the interest off of those accounts. We've manipulated those into some good money market accounts. We're getting some high yields on the interest. However, that's only going to be suffices for until that money is utilized. The $12 million is used for a raise grant that was submitted by the City of Trinidad, which we have grandfathered ourselves into being the administrators of. And we are able to use that interest funding. It is non-discretional funds, so we can use it for whatever we feel see fit. So at the CCI conference, I had a conversation with the governor in front of all the commissioners in the state of Colorado, and I think the three of us were able to handle Governor Polis with his issues that he's bringing forward, and don't think he was very happy when we left that conference. He had some really tough questions, and we identified much of them that day with a lot of commissioners' questions. And then it was a successful conference. I was glad to be there to say a lot of farewells to former commissioners, fellow commissioners that I started 8 years ago with, and seeing what we have done. But we're still not over with. I have a TPR meeting still to have, one more board meeting at TPR, but we still have to figure out the ballot language and get support for the bill we're going to present for the bill that Representative Winters is pushing forward for us with Senator Pelton as well. So that work has to conclude before I get done now, the 1st of January. So that's my report.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Harris.
And I'm going to report just on the CCI annual. On the 2nd of December, we all went and attended the CCI annual. It was held at Westminster. President Don Supas from Delta County called the 2024 CCI annual to order. It was very well attended. Quorum was declared. 60 of 64 counties were present, with our most recent county to join was Denver. So we have all 64 counties now as members of CCI. Mm-hmm. District representatives were introduced, and Lynn Thompson from Sawatch will be our new Southern District Chair. Shortly after that, Governor Polis addressed the delegation. He took 5 questions. But one of them were given to him prior to the meeting. He failed to directly answer any of them. Most were directed at budgets in specific areas such as DHS, pre-K, fast rail, unfunded mandates. And then he was asked if he would consider a pause or a slowdown approach to any further wolf releases until the problems with the current program could be addressed. It's underfunded. It was originally going to be an $800,000 program in the first year. We've lost 4 of the 10 wolves, and at a cost of $5 million, so almost $1 million a wolf, with projected another 12 wolves to be introduced before the 1st of the year is what they would like to do. And we were concerned, many of us in the audience were concerned, that an additional 12 wolves at almost $1 million a wolf, and all of our departments suffering and dealing with county mandates, and we can't fully fund pre-K or none of that, but we're going to fund wolves. And in my opinion, they don't give us any benefit to the county or the state. When Governor Polis was asked that question, he immediately got offensive, and it was It was the last question of the day. And he pointed at me and he said, it's because of you ranchers that these wolves are so expensive. If you'd have kept out of it, we'd have been able to get those wolves from Wyoming for little and nothing instead of going to British Columbia and buying them out of British Columbia. I wanted to respond to the governor by saying, sir, the governor of Wyoming and the governor of Idaho and the governor of Montana said they didn't want to burden the ranchers of Colorado with a program that doesn't work and is so costly. It was the governors that said that. I wish the ranchers had that kind of clout that they could swing, but we don't. And he immediately left the stage. And I looked at our president and I said, yeah, you better address the crowd. He's leaving. And he stood up and he said, well, thank you, Governor Polis, as he's walking out of the room. Immediately following that, I was moderating a panel that dealt with the urban and rural divide. And what we just witnessed, he was pushing that issue. Anyway, I'll get on to that. I'm going to get off the governor thing. Then directly after the governor's address, I had the privilege to moderate a breakout session that dealt with the urban and rural divide. We had four experts from all over the state that introduced a program called Envision Chaffee County and another project that is happening near the Colorado River District. And Greg Felt, the chair of the Chaffee County, described the project. David Weinstein from the Western Conservation Director for the Trust of Public Lands, he did a presentation. And how their partnership with Chaffee County evolved. And then Chris Jan Farrell, Director of Programs for the Great Outdoors Colorado, described how they contributed financially. And finally, Melissa Wills, the Community Funding Partnership Program Manager for the Colorado River District, representing 14 counties, did a similar project as Envision Chaffee County. What they did is they went out to the community at their Chaffee County, and they knew that the people of the county were disgruntled with the fact that they thought they were losing their ranching heritage. As you pull into Salida, there was a horse farm that was right along the river there. And every time you pulled in, that's what you got to see, 30 head of horses on this farm. It's now condos and apartment buildings and hotels, and the people are upset. So they wanted to find out how upset. So they did a poll, and they asked the community, do you support the use of ag lands to further the economic development? And they said, no. Do you support ag? 98% of them said, yes, we want to support our ranching heritage. So they ran a ballot that said, how much do you support, basically? And they ran a half-cent sales tax, and it passed. That money goes into a bucket, and it's distributed in a grant process to ranchers. It's a small conservation easement, so you can do baby steps. It's a five-year commitment. And up to $25,000 over the 5 years, and you could use it for irrigation rebuilds. Say if you needed a new weir, or if you needed a new bed gate, or if you needed a new wheel on your tractor, you could apply for these grants, and if awarded, you use them, and then you're entered into the grant system. And you're eligible for another $5,000 for 5 years. If at the end of that 5 year period, you decide that you want out, then you have to pay back, I believe it's 60% of that back to the grant, and it goes back into the bucket and they start over. It's that the money can be used again. This was a stellar project that bridged the urban and rural divide. When I was up there taking part in this conference, that's why I put this panel together. is I wanted people to see that there is a way for urban and rural to get along. And the ranchers, if they deem so, it's a voluntary process, can also allow the general public to hike their trails that they build or whatever as part of that. And so I've been working on that since 2019. We've had several meetings at the stock show and all over with different, the mayor at the time was Mayor Hancock and Salazar were there. And we were trying to figure out how to bridge that urban-rural divide. We saw the wolf reintroduction. We saw the meat out. We saw the attempt at banning our slaughterhouses. Well, that's what we were trying to do. There was a disconnect, and we wanted to connect that. And these two programs did that successfully, and it's a model for the Colorado Outdoor Partnership to follow. There were many other informational breakout sessions and ranging in topics from BHA, DHS, new commissioner orientation. And by the way, Bob, there's going to be another one coming up here in January, a 3-day. So if you want, you can attend that one. And budget realities as well as current green energy challenges. That's my report.
If I may, Chairman, announce, I was going to wait, but congratulations to Commissioner Haas, who is now the CCI president-elect, moving forward on the executive force. Congratulations to
you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. That is, thank you, and thank you for the service on the board. What I think the theme of the CCI conference, the priorities that came out from the executive branch to those of us that attended is, the priorities is that wolves before children. That's kind of the way we put that into perspective. But you know, one of the things that I want to just highlight, the attempt to shut down the meat processing plant in county of Denver was rejected. I think people in Colorado, we understand what's happening, that ag is very imperative and important to the economy of the state. So providing a couple of, had a couple of meetings with BHA beginning at the conference, one of the things that my question continues to be, what kind of services does the Behavioral Health Administration is going to be providing in counties like ours? We had two meetings yesterday, an introduction with the regional engagement specialist that is working. And I had a great conversation with this individual. Is responsible for 22 counties. I don't know what one person can actually do for 22 counties. But nonetheless, it was very pleasant. I had an opportunity to connect her with the VSO. I had an opportunity to connect her with the South Central Council of Governments, with DHS, and then, of course, the college to do a lot of the connectivity, partner, and so on. And then after that meeting, we attended another meeting with the Behavioral Health Administration, a couple of our meetings. One thing that I'm going to be very involving is going to be the BHA because of the appropriation of FTEs and the dollars that they have. So these dollars and services are sent to our rural counties. And so they're going through the rulemaking process. And on this particular rulemaking process, there is a great opportunity to hear, they're kind of on a listening session to hear from us. What is it that we need? I guess, you know, when I describe Los Animas County, that at any point in time on good, perfect weather, it's going to take you an hour and plus to get to the main city, which is Trinidad. And even at that, we don't have all the behavioral services available that a person needs. They might have to be transported, who knows, but they need to understand the challenges that we have here in Los Animas County. Great meeting. I think the plethora of comments that came out of there is they'll get the gist of what is happening in rural Colorado. Had a conversation with Senator Rod Pelton regarding the TPR bill. And, you know, his question was, do we run the legislation? And I said, absolutely, let's go ahead and go with it. Unless we are told by staff later on, we can always rescind it. But I mentioned that between Mr. Blasi and Mr. Borja. They'll provide the language that we have collected and to work with us to move that that bill forward. He's going to have Representative Winter, I believe, Senator Pelton, a conversation with another elected official out there. So it's going to be bipartisan because we know that's going to be the only way that this thing is going to advance. The last update I want to give is we had a meeting yesterday with the South Central Region 19 opioid, and we voted on the budget for year 25-26. We're going to be distributing $1,880,191.44 through projects that are going to be outlining treatment, education and prevention, harm reduction, recovery, and then a little bit of administrative cost. So with that budget, we awarded several RFPs. We have the RFP committee has been meeting, and as the chair of this particular group is, it's a lot of work. It gets really into the dollars and what we're appropriating, but one of the things that we're hoping is to have the dollars come back to Las Animas County and to each county. We had a presentation by two entities, one that is requesting to do data mining, a data gathering for all nine counties. So when we're writing grants, we know exactly how many people are unemployed, how many people, so on and so forth. I don't know if we're going to be awarding that, but that is through the AG supporting it through the Southeast Region 19. We had another one from here from Trinidad. There is a group that is working on the old Marty's Pharmacy building, the Rafa House, Opera House. And so that building is going to be undergoing a lot of renovations, and they're planning on having some kind of a mental health providers transition for individuals that are going through the opioid recovery. And so we heard those two presentations. We didn't have an opportunity to vote yesterday because it was under an item that is going to be voted later on. But nonetheless, the opioid region 19 is going strong. Out of the 19, I think, out of the 19 regions, this particular one, it's a breakthrough. We're awarding services, and I cannot believe we're going to be going into year three already. So, and reminding everyone, this is an 18-year process. And that's going to be my report. We're going to go to elected officials update. We have had a few conversations back and forth. I hope there was apparently an attempt to pass a bill. Ms. Jody Amaro, would you like to provide us an update of what is going on in your world?
You guys don't want to be in my world.
By not choice of a run, we are.
I know. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a little frosty out there this morning. Well, I just, last week I was at my Colorado Assessors Conference, just to inform everyone, due to legislative change, a brand new auditor that was appointed by our lovely governor, the Colorado Assessors Association is losing six long-term assessors. They're retiring by the 25th of this year. We were unaware of this until we had our first day of law seminar. These assessors came back, handed in their resignations. They just cannot keep up with the legislative change, the unfunded mandates. We have had the same auditing company, which is appointed by the governor, also the Board of Equalization and Legislative Council. We've had the same auditing company for 16 years. Now we have a group of auditors that we got to meet face-to-face that one of them has assessment knowledge. The rest, we're not sure what's going to happen. So it does add a whole new aspect, a learning curve, again, and a change to the job that all assessors do. So it's sad that we are losing six over 30-year knowledgeable assessors that are just walking away because of the legislative changes that continue to change. We did have a discussion about an ag bill that was proposed. I actually brought a copy of it today. It's a three-page bill. which kind of shocked us because most bills that come down to property tax are over 40 pages long. But what this bill is trying to do is strike the definition of ranch from the current Colorado Constitution. Ranch, as defined now, means a parcel of land which is used for grazing livestock for the primary purpose of obtaining a monetary profit. For the purpose of this subsection, 13.5, livestock means domestic animals which are fed and used for food or human or animal consumption, breeding, draft, or profit. They are trying to strike that entire definition out. It caused a lot of stir at our association conference because that could bankrupt small schools, small districts, small counties. We are funded and sourced by ag. A lot of these small communities that their residential properties are their largest classification of property in their districts would see everybody that has backyard chickens or there's a number of, it opens up a plethora of definitions and what could be termed as livestock. We are trying to fight it. I was told through the grapevine that this bill would possibly die. I have not seen that in writing yet. It's just words. So we will see what happens. It's my understanding that this was also to open up to chicken farms, egg production facilities, hog production facilities, and feedlots, which are currently assessed as other ag. They're like a commercial business. And those counties and those entities receive a lot of revenue from the personal property, the equipment within those businesses. Because ag, the definition of ag means those animals have to graze. There has to be a nexus with the grant. So a plant has to be coming out, animal grazing, you're a ranch. Or you're a farm because you're tilling, you're planting, you're harvesting, and we're starting the process all over again. This would mean everybody that's got chickens in their backyard and sells a dozen eggs to their neighbor could be ranch. I actually made a joke in front of some of the governor's staff that the county and city of Denver would have the largest number of ag parcels than I would, than Los Animas County, even though we are the largest land mass and agricultural because everybody has backyard chickens. So we're hoping we can show them fiscally. We've actually, our lobbyists and as a group of assessors, we agreed hopefully to convert this to a study bill, because if you look at the fiscal note on this, it's full of crap. Pardon my French, but it's baloney. So we're asking it to be a study bill. That way we can show them how many parcels, the loss of revenue, the classification change, so they actually have substance before they start making changes to a bill. The Senator Roberts is who wants to run this bill. He has done this before to us. He likes to take a one subject property and create a bill for it. Why? We don't know, because this isn't a statewide issue. This is a specific property in Grand County is who has approached him on this one. So we're hoping we can get senators, House representatives, anybody involved to back off, because we need to stop running legislation that is specific for one property. We have far greater problems to solve in the state of Colorado than this. So we're hoping it does die. I've also asked, and our lobbyists have agreed, and they're pushing to attach some sort of study, or the state would have to spend money. We were told at our budget, or at, during our budget session of ours, that the state is $1.4 billion in the hole. So any bill that has a monetary tag tied to it will definitely get killed. So we're hoping we can convert this to a study and not get this passed.
I'm glad you clarified that, because that he was actually listening to his constituents, Dylan Roberts, because usually he's very friendly to ag. And for him to run that for one specific
And that's why he's friendly to ag, because he wants to give...
He wants to lower tax values and raise
grain. The fiscal note of this particular thing is incalculable. It is going to be so large by the loss of revenue throughout the state. So as one of the conversations we had just in the last few days, if I may, is, and my understanding is this is going to get killed. I hope it does.
That's my understanding. I am praying. I have not seen it in writing yet.
But
and
it
I
may
have
come
not.
Up on the following 2026. To calculate how many I can declare my place if I have a few chickens. I think, the that's where the friendliness comes in, Commissioner. I believe but it would be a ton of revenue lost
ton of revenue.
For counties.
And to give you Commissioner Lopez was here. Mr. Dorenkamp was here. When I revalued all of our parcels on the west side of the county that went from an ag value to a market value, I had over 5,000 protests. We would be losing, if they have any sort of animal on their property, I would have to put them back to ag. So that would be a huge, huge loss in revenue and value to our county, because all of our 45-acre subdivisions would be going to an ag value.
So this Oscar Mayer baloney bill, let's call it that. Doesn't any type of, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just thinking out loud here, any change to the state constitution have to go to the vote of the people? Can't be done through legislation?
Well, this is law. Sorry, I mentioned constitution. Okay. This is law. Okay. So this would change the law.
Change the legislation that was incorporated many, many years ago.
Yes.
And the other question I have for you, Ms. Amato, is the auditing firm, did they also want out? Is that why there was a new one, because of the new changes? Do we know any of that?
No, they actually submitted an RFP.
Okay.
So I can tell you it's going to be unique. It's going to be different. It's going to be more change that I'm going to have to implement in a year when I'm already implementing the largest law change and program change for assessors in over 25 years. So we're doing a lot of brain. We're doing a lot of trying to stay ahead of the eight ball, if you will.
It's unfortunate that 8 years ago we were closed 2 days a week. We've overcome so much to get back to the same point where we have all these unfunded mandates and all of these deficits to Los Angeles County once again, starting a new cycle for a new board of commissioners and new.
And I keep telling legislatures, I keep telling senators, House representatives, please reach out to us. We have been here. We will tell you the story. We will, because we've lived it, and we will help guide you through. Don't make our mistake. We've already done this. Please be smarter than we are, and we can help guide them so they don't fall into this trap, if you will. But unfortunately, right now, it's about, I'm not sure what the political game is up there. It's going to be unique because, once again, we have a supermajority. The Senate and the House are in one political control along with our governor, and so there's really no veto power. There's going to have to be a lot of bipartisan conversations. We've already anticipating about close to 60 bills that will affect assessment in some way or another, even though we just last year had the largest assessment change bill we've ever had to deal with. So we're hoping we can be at the table, be part of those conversations, so we don't have the surprises like we did last year.
Or the alternative is counties start litigating the state, filing lawsuits.
And that will be on behalf of CCI, which I'm very, thank you. I'm glad to see that you are president-elect. You're probably going to get tired of hearing my voice. You're going to want to lose my phone number. Okay. But as far as we're getting ready, we sent out certifications. Hopefully entities are getting mill levies back to Ms. Christie. We have received one.
Are you going to handle the new form?
They should be getting them back to us. Once we get it done, I will be putting together a spreadsheet, because I have all that data. And then we will be waiting for the state to open up that portal. We do have directions if there's an entity listening, or if one comes in. I do a bunch of...
I'm going to forward them to you.
Please do.
If you don't understand it, I'm going to forward them to
Please
you.
Do. We have a bunch of assessors. We sat down and drafted hopefully some instructions to help get them through. I want them to know if they do not fill it out, there is no repercussion, and we are not the police.
No, that's what I told
we
them
are
that
not the police.
The state will contact you if it's done incorrectly.
Yes, and the reason that
it's not us.
And the reason the state wants this information is the governor wants one easy button place where all this information can be stored. And essentially, they're trying to determine what entities are DeBruced, what entities are not. We did have a quick session with special district associations before our actual session started, because there are some issues with some special districts that they do get to up their mill levies. So regardless of what came out of the special extraordinary session, we probably will not be seeing tax bills go down January 1 of 2025. We will be seeing them go up because special districts get to increase their mill levies to cover payments and to cover bond.
So if they're different, then I shouldn't be quiet.
We'll see what they get. We'll see what we get, because hopefully they're be coming in today. That's
yeah, because I usually compare what last year to make sure they're kind of like on it. Like
some of them might be going up, and school districts get to increase theirs by one.
They always have, yes. Like, you know that
up to 27 mils.
Other districts, if they're going to change, then that would be two.
Yes, the only school district I'm concerned about is Primero School District, but we'll see what they certify to us and go from there.
Thanks, Jim.
So as soon as we get that, as soon as this board certifies those mill levies, I will be running the tax roll and getting it off to the lovely treasurer, and we'll start this funness that I call my job all over again.
Excuse me. Thank you guys for all what you do, and treasurers and clerks and all the staff, and putting all this together for us to have the foresight and what's available for us to be able to liquidate. Yes. Liquidate funds for the taxpayers of Los Angeles County in a proper manner. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
And you know, there was an announcement that we have 59 county commissioners going out and 59 new faces coming in as the 64 counties. But I want to keep an eye on that, Jody. The fiscal note for a bill of that magnitude statewide is going to be pretty hard to ignore. There is going to be, we are being requested, and I think we have already done this from our county administrator and others, to tabulate and do a data warehouse of how much has the county absorbed through unfunded mandates. That is going to be collected by the 64 counties, and we're going to send that documentation to the governor. One of the statements that was made by one of his counties in the Denver metro area, Arapahoe, Jefferson, the Colorado Child Care System program for families, they're going to start freezing those services to community because they cannot afford.
They can't afford
some
them.
Of these counties are looking at millions of dollars in unfunded mandates because of legislation. So at the end of the day, I think every county is going to be affecting the CCAP. Here in our county, we have received information from our DHS director. We're going to be doing that because we don't have the funding to cover the expenses. So
no, and that brings me back to my point. Instead of doing these nonsense bills, let's really focus on things that affect our citizens and that our citizens need. Let's put those efforts into helping children, our education, our mental health, our opioid problems. We have far bigger problems than let's actually direct some of those funds from wolves and get them to helping children.
Well, 2026 was a estimated 1.4 million for DHS deficit CCAP. So
yes,
future boards and assessors and administrators, finance directors, Mr. Lucero, good luck.
I know.
Finding this. You're gonna lose all your hair like I did.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Donetti, would you like to provide us an update or? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I just wanted to give you an update on our tax, online tax sale that we had on December 2nd. We had 353 sold parcels in the amount of tax dollars that we're going to be getting revenue in, $267,783.69. We also had an excess bonus bid of $13,716, which is extra revenue for our county. We still have 8 more purchasers that still need to send in their payments before we process the tax lien certificates, but I can give you more of an updated amount at the next meeting once we move forward on that.
Was it well attended?
It was online, perfect. And we had 39 bidders.
Awesome.
So that wasn't bad.
Especially when the economy is the way it is. That's
yes.
Actually pretty amazing to see that many people come out.
Yeah. So, but like I say, I'll give you an updated report the next meeting.
Congratulations to you
Thank
and
you.
Your team. Thank you for what you guys do.
Thank you.
Let me now go to anyone from the clerk and recorder's office. Anyone from the sheriff's office? District attorney? Coroner? Hearing that, we're going to move all the way down to Section 8. We don't have anything on public comment, Mr. Dornkamp.
Yes.
And at this time, for anyone online that wishes to address this Board of County Commissioners, if you wish to address the board under public comment, you would have to simply unmute yourself, raise your hand, and you would have 3 minutes. Seeing that, we're going to go to the next item. Section 8, unfinished business, consideration of OBCC 7024 to Vermilion Living Trust for $1,850.62. Commissioners, this item was tabled. So in order to have a discussion, I will entertain a motion to remove from the table. So moved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And thank you, Los Angeles County Treasurer, Mrs. Leonetti. I want to just simply go through the process and thank you for being here. The last time that we had this item on the agenda, there were a couple of questions. So commissioners, any questions for Ms. Leonetti to move on with this particular item?
Well, thank you, Chairman. It was tabled 2 weeks ago, I believe, if I recall correctly. We were unsure of why it was requested. And we talked in the hallway. Could you come to the podium or explain? Or let Sarah, come on, and kind of explain to the board. That's what was our
Good
question.
Good morning. So we have several accounts that have come up that have been deleted through the assessor's office. And this particular investor has picked up the taxes at our tax sale and is about ready to apply for the deed. But because the account is deleted, there's no possible way for him to apply for a treasurer's deed. So he's requesting his money that he's put into it refunded back.
So that was about, what's the timeline for that when he purchased the 9 million?
He picked this up back in 2021, which were for the 19 taxes.
Okay.
And at that rate, at that year, the interest rate, I believe, was 9%.
And does the county reimburse for the interest on that?
They get everything back, the interest, what they paid in, the interest, the bonus bids, everything but the certificate fee. And he has not applied yet, so his deed fee application fee is not even added on to that, which is $1,500. So that doesn't even include that.
That'll come at a later date?
No, because he's not going to apply.
Okay. Oh, okay, so he's not applying
yes.
for the
interest. Yeah, this is just strictly what he has paid in.
Yeah, I think the question for us, Ms. Martinez, was how does this occur? Is it a mistake on behalf of one office or the other? I see Mr. Amato is going to end up to answer that question. So that way we can have a better understanding of how that process works.
How we are finding these is now that we have a contract mapper, Ms. Caitlin Bernier, who does our mapping, when tax pieces go up for tax sale, a lot of times the property doesn't exist, but through the deed process, they might have started with 100 acres, and as they've sold down, we still have on record from deeds, because there are no surveys, they didn't do the math correctly or whatever, we have these small pieces of land sitting out there. Well, unfortunately, the deeds aren't, there's no meets and bounds. They're very vague, so we have to put this puzzle together. So by putting the pieces around, we developers see this piece of land does not exist. It's already been sold out multiple times to this, this, and this. And that's why they go to tax sales, because they still exist on my system, because I have to have definitive proof, either a survey or somebody needs to bring me a title search that says this particular piece of land does not exist. So through our mapping, we are now discovering and trying to clean up a lot of these parcels that are out there. And these people, unfortunately, they still exist on my side, in my system. But as we are mapping and determining, no, all of the land in this section, township, and range, or this area has been sold.
So much like a gentleman came before us a couple months ago regarding his discrepancies out in Model, Colorado.
Yes.
It would be great for the purchaser of these properties to do a title search and have title insurance to make sure the properties exist.
Yes.
After they purchase it, so they're not sitting on their money for 3 to 5 years and then they have to get purged back.
And okay. That is according to law. A treasurer's deed, it is buyer beware. It is their due diligence. It's whoever's purchasing these through the tax sale. It is their due diligence, and they're assuming the responsibility. There is no liability to my office or the treasurer's office.
And the other big reason, board, if I wanted to bring this to light is because I've had recently a personal friend of mine who was very upset regarding one of these type of scenarios. And I wanted to bring it forward to show that the proper legal process has taken place by our treasurer's office, by our assessor's office moving forward, and there's no issues or discrepancies. What you guys have done, again, what you just stated, it's buyer beware. It's upon the purchaser to do their homework to make sure that, and to make sure that all the air is clear and that there's no looking down upon both your offices. So thank you guys
thank
for
you.
That
I
clarification.
Appreciate that.
I'm sure we'll have a few more in the future coming forward.
And for us, I think the question, now that we understand, the assessor has to delete that because it's non-existent.
Right.
And obviously, it goes back to the treasurer for the refund. And we really appreciate the, I don't even know what it's called, but something 101, which is for us, great information.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Yes. And I think that's for all of us. Yes. So, commissioners, do we have any discussion on this unfinished business? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve OBCC 7024 to Vermilion Living Trust for $1,850.62.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. I'm going to go to 9A, consideration of 2024 snowstorm clearing efforts invoice from Kerrigan Excavating LLC. Mr. Berenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration is.
Thank you, ladies.
Invoice for assistance from Kerrigan Excavating snow removal up in the northern part of the county. They're the ones that went into those, that area where they contacted EM about no propane, kids being stranded, etc. And while they were heading that direction, I also asked them to go ahead and plow the county roads since we did not have any resources up in that area at that time. And so that this is what that bill pertains to. And I did call the owner and talk to him a bit, and it appears everything is legit, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, commissioners, on this item?
No, Chairman, just a comment. We have quite a few of these on today's agenda regarding some of the snow removal cleaning efforts. And I just want to give a big thank you to our staff, administrative staff, and finance, county staff, for having the foresight years ago when we developed this ballot measure to keep the excess taxes collected in Los Angeles County from our 1 cent sales tax. It was identified in that bill, in that ballot measure, that we would have emergency funds available for emergencies, all hazards. It was identified as, and here's a perfect example of that coming into fruition and their efforts for what you guys had the foresight to bring before the board to do so. With that, I happily will make the motion to approve the 2024 snowstorm cleaning efforts invoice from Kerrigan Excavating LLC.
And thank you all our contractors that came out there and helped us during that holiday weekend. I second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Consideration of maintenance ATV purchase, Sourcewell Government. Mr. Dornkamp.
Before you, for your consideration, commissioners, is the purchase of an ATV for our maintenance department. Total price, and it includes plows and all the plow hardware to attach the plow to the ATV, et cetera, is $12,544.22. And this purchase will be made through, I'm asking the board to allow this purchase to be made through our procurement policy, item 7.104, where it allows purchase from governmental entities without having to go to bid. And this is a governmental entity that was developed in Minnesota, I believe.
Does this have anything to do with the NACO type association? Are they, I would imagine they're part of the national.
If NACO's a member of it, Commissioner, I'm unaware of that.
Okay.
But I know the Colorado Department of Transportation recently also started making purchases from Sourcewell.
Two questions. Is this a side-by-side or is this a four-wheeler type ATV?
This ATV, one seat.
One seat, standard.
Maybe four. One in the back. I'm not sure.
Four, right. And second question is to Mr. Coverty, do we have funding available?
I spoke to Mr. Durham Kemp, but Kenny had additional money in his budget.
Thank you.
I want to put a footnote. Let's never forget to ask the finance question because one more meeting. Yes.
I just highlighted that funding available.
Yes. Yeah. So, Commissioner, has any other questions on this?
No.
And I really thank you for reaching out there, Mr. Dornkamp, on this type of already kind of a pre-approved procurement rules and regs for small governments. I think we benefit from the whole thing. So thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the consideration of maintenance ATV purchase Sourcewell government.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Pires Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. 9C, consideration of rescinding 2024 snowstorm emergency declaration. Back to you, sir, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, the board had declared our county a emergency during the snowstorm. It was in a declared emergency declaration. And this is the rescinding of that declaration. And it would be one of the items that I passed out to you. The one that I had included in your packet was not signed by Clerk Apple. The one that you had as one of the handouts I gave you this morning is the one that is signed by Kirk Apple. So that's the board to approve this rescinding of the emergency declaration.
Thank you. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the rescinding 2024 snowstorm emergency declaration.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. 9D, consideration of Colorado Department of State 2024 election improvement grant, courthouse doors upgrade. What a great opportunity. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, the great opportunity was brought to our attention by Clerk Apple that there was funds from the Secretary of State with upgrading assistance of any type that would help with the election processes and allowing for folks who perhaps aren't physically capable of pulling doors, like our doors downstairs, those heavy swinging doors, et cetera, to pursue grants, funding to modify and those types of issues. And so we sought and received $151,320 for the renovation, replacement of the swinging doors with sliding doors on Maple Street, on the Maple Street entrance. So again, a big thank you to Kirk Apple who brought this to our attention, and thank the state for sending us a grant to our contract to sign and pursue getting those doors changed up.
Do you have any matching dollars on this particular grant?
No, sir. But I need to clarify, we bid this, I want to say in August, and I contacted the state when these funds were brought to our attention. The board awarded the bid, and they said that was fine, that the bid was already let and awarded as long as we hadn't spent any money. We hadn't spent any money. That being said, the contract that we have, there's an additional, I want to say $30,000 or $36,000 to do the same work at the Justice Center, remove the swinging doors, and put sliding doors, but this grant would not cover that because there aren't any elections.
Well, wait a minute. Don't the inmates vote? Don't we send the clerk and recorder's team to the jail facility?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's something to look at.
Well, good point. I, you know, once again, thank you. Thanks to
It's awesome.
Third couple. I mean, we'll pay better than $51,000 any day.
Yeah, we will, especially when it was budgeted. We had it within our budget, but now we
Joe Richards.
Have and funding to cover that so we can put that back in our bank.
Right.
Well, very good. Commissioners, any other discussion on that? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the Colorado Department of State 2024 Election Improvement Grant Courthouse Doors Upgrade.
Second motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9E, consideration of 2024 snowstorm clearing efforts invoice from Universal Inc. Mr. Dornkamp.
We just had a couple of conversations with the owner of Universal Inc. and another one yesterday evening. And through that conversation, that company submitted a revised invoice as part of the handouts that I gave them this morning. The one that was included in your packet is null and void. That's not what you'll be considering. And I had concerns about the roads that he had listed that he plowed, but he assured me, and I tend to believe him, I have no reason not to, that the roads that he plowed, he indeed plowed, and that county crews nor another contractor had plowed those roads. So I'd ask the board to approve this latest invoice.
Did he contact you for that road to be plowed, or who did he talk to?
No, sir. He did not contact me about getting authorization to plow. Same with another one you'll be inserting later in your packet. But what he was told by the incident commander was to submit an invoice for the work that he did on the county roads and that he would get paid for. So that's I wasn't part of that conversation, but that's what he told me, and I've not checked with the IC to verify that, but I believe that conversation did take
place. And as we had the debrief on the
after action,
I think one of the most important things is that we highlighted that the IC cannot, without total approval from the county, any dollars.
And without knowing that we have those funds available.
Yes.
Through finance.
Yes. Very good. And the amount that you're submitting, Mr. Dornkamp, instead of the 4480, is going to be $4,160. Commissioner, clarification for your motion. Any other discussion on this particular item? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve 2024 snowstorm cleaning efforts invoice from Universal Incorporated. The amount of $41.60.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9E, consideration of 2024 snowstorm clearing efforts, invoice from 4J Hotshots LLC. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, similar to the prior consideration as far as the communications between that contractor and myself, that didn't take place until I got the invoice, and then I did talk with that contractor. Again, he stated that the county crews did not show up, that he had heard that they weren't even at work that day, but he had to plow to get, he had to plow a county road to get to the interstate. So that's what this bill pertains to. And I'd ask the board, again, this is apparently a conversation taking place with the IC, and was told to submit an invoice, which is what this contractor did. And I'd ask the board to approve this invoice also.
Thank you. Any discussion on this particular item, commissioners?
You know, I could see this this whole process. I mean, I'm really thankful for the contractors that went out there and helped us out like this. But in our next snowstorm event, I could see this expounding and becoming a larger people just
jumping in there without any
approval. Really much rather have these people that want to help clear it through you first so that we can.
Historically, Commissioner, this isn't to try and diminish the efforts that everybody was putting into this snowstorm, but historically, that's what happened in the past, is that any contractor either ran through me as a road bridge supervisor or one of the commissioners, someone else not on frankly, not an entity that doesn't have any quote unquote skin in the game, because this isn't coming out of the IC's budget. This is coming out of Los Angeles County's budget. So I think Los Angeles County should be the one that either gives a thumbs up or the thumbs down when it comes to paying these invoices. And these invoices wouldn't be getting paid unless a contractor had authority from someone within the county staff to go ahead and perform these services. But I agree with you. I'm glad that they showed up and cleaned roads for the Saturday.
It gives an opportunity to perhaps select, as Commissioner Tony has mentioned, those contractors that responded, and a phone call away for the next incident. So we'll have them ready to go. But it, once again, it's got to go through the county. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification, Commissioner. Any other discussion on these commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the 2024 snowstorm clearing efforts. The invoice from 4J Hotshot LLC.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9G, consideration of Perry Stokes Airport Liability Insurance Renewal. Do we go to Finance Director Coberly, Mr. Berenkamp?
I will defer to Finance Director Coberly.
See, you can see that Brett Plund from Trinidad Insurance emailed me about our renewal, because I think when they do renew it, it's a 3-year insurance policy, and they divide it by three. So this year, our policy is $9,065 for the airport, because CTSI does not cover, I think it's either the building or the hangars, something to where we have to get additional insurance to cover up the airport. So that's what this is. And it was due actually what did he say here? The 11th or the 27th. But I asked him to extend it. So there was additional cost because they did extend the policy until the 12th of December. So once this is approved, they'll actually bill us. You can see in here they're asking about tourism coverage and they're asking for something here.
Terrorism.
And something else.
And war? 3-year premium additional of $27.21 with an annual premium of $907. The county has not purchased the terrorism coverage in the past.
Right. Yes.
But so the 9,065 direct property, does that include, or would that be in addition to, if we decided to go with the terrorism clause?
No, it's the 9,065. It does not include terrorism or war coverage. So it does not include it. It says here in the email, the 9,065, and does not include terrorism or war coverage. I said, and let's see, does he say on here, the 3-year premium, it's an additional $2,721.
Yeah.
If we want to add that.
So the question would be, for me, is if, God forbid, there is some sort of an attack out at the county airport, who determines whether it was terrorism or not? Would that be the local sheriff's department, the state, feds? How does that?
So the additional premium would be $907 per year. Yeah. So that would go up to what, $99?
9,990.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it would go up to.
Well, you know, with all the craziness that we're having going on, commissioners, right now the base premium is $9,065
mm-hmm.
with an add-on perhaps of about $900 if we want to go with the terrorism coverage. Now, it is insurance. We may never ever use that.
And I want to channel my inner Luis, and do we have fun?
capital expenditure supporting the airport right now, you know, from future until we receive any kind of like larger revenue. So capital expenditure will be supporting any kind of expenditure for that. So, I mean, it won't come from there.
So, yes,
but we don't really don't have any revenue right now coming in.
Yeah, it would be an expense. It would be a straight out expense from county funds.
Yes.
Mr. Berenkamp, what say you?
I like covering all my tracks, commissioners, but I think, frankly, this is not a good expenditure of county funds. I can't imagine. I kind of poll what Commissioner Lopez said is, if something were to happen out there, who's going to prove what is terrorism, what isn't just an act of vandalism, what's this, what's that? And our FBO operator out there, he's not carrying it. So, but it may be better to
well, you're
on the safe side. The
That's
I said, I mean, you so you answered the question two ways. You said, I like to cover all my tracks. Which,
my yeah, but yes, my
it,
yeah, but
but
yes.
then, yeah,
If that money was coming out of my wallet, I wouldn't buy it. Let me put it that way.
Now, the question back to Mr. Brett Blatt would be, if we don't purchase it now, obviously we forego until the next
3 years.
Yep. 3 years, but we could do it on the net on 2020.
I can't answer that because
there was like one of three.
Would
it's
you,
a 3 year premium.
Yeah,
it's
but would you
premium.
Ask him and see if we wanted to opt into the terrorism in 1 year at a time? I think that would be.
The 3 year premium with an annual premium of 3 years
yeah.
is 9,000. I don't know why he does this. As a past, the renewal offer is a 3 year policy term with an annual premium of each 3 years. I don't know. I wasn't part of when they first started. I think Ms. Chambliss was. So I don't know why it's a 3 year.
The premium increase for the next 3 years is 21%.
Yeah. You know, with any insurance,
yeah.
I think, can you not add anything? I'm saying, I know personally, I'm saying if I want something,
I
can add it anytime.
If I was the insurance agent, you can give me more money anytime you want.
I can add anytime I want.
Right.
I know that with my own personal insurance, it's insurance. If I say I want earthquake insurance, they're going to add it to my policy.
Would you
I'll reach out to them. And then how do you want me to handle this since it's due on the 12th?
Okay.
In my opinion, we need to pay it. And
yeah.
I will move forward with paying it without the terrorism at this time. And then see if it is able to be added. And if not, we can amend it and submit it. But we need to get it approved today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can approve it today and find out if that would be an annual. And you can put it back on next week's board meeting if we, that'd be enough time to see if we want to add the $900. Because in my opinion, it's a waste of money.
So my question to him is, I'm asking, if we can add next year, if we want the terrorism coverage, can we add it next year without the policy, correct?
And is Mr. Plant the only insurer that offers airport insurance in our community?
Could we
go out to bid on something like that as well?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, I've dealt with Mr. Plant over the years as well, and it's always been a fair operation that he runs with insurance companies. Like all, they all have federal guidelines, state guidelines that they have to meet. So, but I would, my opinion, not spend that extra money at this time, because who's to say what type of, you know, who determines what is terrorism, what is not, what is vandalism, and such as Mr. Lauren Cam indicated. So,
well, and the one thing I think there would be an investigation depending on it that would involve the FAA.
Sorry, chime in. I did a quick search on the internet. Acts of terrorism defined for insurance purposes at airports. Be violent or dangerous to human life, property, or infrastructure, results in damage to U.S., U.S. air carriers, vessels, or missions abroad. Be intended to coerce the civilian population, influence governmental policy, etc. And then it goes on to state common scenarios of terrorism covered at airports, physical attacks, bombing, shootings, or other violent attacks causing damage to airport terminals, runways, or equipment, damage to infrastructure resulting in repair costs or loss of business income, cyber terrorism, hijacking, sabotage, biological, chemical attacks, vehicle-borne attacks, explosions, or arson. Explosives or arson. Just reading through that. I'm not sure it wouldn't be a good investment. I mean, if somebody...
It's a broad stroke there.
It's a brush, and as Commissioner...
It's $2.48 a day.
And as Commissioner Peter Lopez said earlier, in today's environment, who knows who's going to strike where?
You know, we have such an investment, and that is, we have worked so hard down there for $2.48 a day. If you stop and get a cup of coffee any day of the week, you can spend $4 or $5. So I think, you know, to protect, even though I'm cautious not to spend the taxpayers' dollars, I think this is going to be one of those that it's going to be a smart investment. And that's what it's called, insurance commissioners. Unless Commissioner Haas?
No, I'd agree with what we may be experiencing around January 20th.
Well, and also we got to give credit to the operator.
because he's bringing a whole lot more business, a lot more exposure, that kind of thing. So if I think it would be a well worth investment. Now that you read that.
Yeah, that's and then I think about what happened in New York in the last few days, you know, anybody
right,
it goes off the rail and who knows what's gonna happen. So and after like Commissioner Lopez said to Brian, stroke of what's underneath cyber terror or what's underneath terrorism.
Yes. So
shoot each other into terrorists.
At this time the let's see.
9972.
Okay. So, commissioners, any other discussion on this? I hear none. The motion would be to approve the airport liability insurance renewal to include the terrorism coverage for a total of Director Coverly, the total would be
9972.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Since item 9H was removed, let's go to a 9I, consideration of an extension of the approval of Resolution 23-026 Thatcher Helium Plant. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, I will defer this to Planning Director Bob, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Lucero.
Good morning.
Soon to be sitting up here, so good morning and welcome.
I think Peter Condridge is online. This is a request for just an extension on the helium processing facility. Apparently, they run into construction delays. So I think the resolution was signed in November of 2023. So they're asking for an extension on it.
For the record, and good morning, Mr. Conrad. Welcome. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being here. So can, for just kind of a general question, can you please update the board as to why the requested extension and then my second question would be is, we have it here, but for the record to the public, what is the length of the extension that you're requesting? And do you foresee your project to continue to go thereafter as the estimated time of completion, as you initially said on your proposal to the county?
Yes, sir, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. And I thank you for the opportunity to request this extension of Thatcher Helium Plant approved resolution. Right now, we have two different project areas. We've got an area by Thatcher and by Kim, Colorado. As of yesterday, we just submitted a new processing plant by Kim, Colorado. And the reason I bring that to your attention is basically at Thatcher, we are reevaluating the development plans and hold off on construction of the plant for the time being. Due to our appraisal well didn't come in quite as expected. And so we're reevaluating the options there and kind of bringing the other project to the forefront. We don't believe that this project is by any means not complete or not going to be further moved along, but we're just delaying our actions right now. Does that answer your question, or do you have a more specific question?
Well, that's great, sir. Let me yield the floor to my fellow commissioners for any additional questions.
And how long would this extension be?
My understanding of the rules is we can only ask for a 6-month extension. We would certainly like to have it longer if possible, but I have been kind of informed that the 6 months is the most you can extend it. Is there option to extend it longer?
Most of the extensions are for a year.
Oh, it's for a year. I'd like to restate our intention that we'd like to have it a year, 1 year extension on this.
Mr. Condit, this is Commissioner Luis Lopez. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
I did notice we have adjoining property with the property owner out in Thatcher. My family and I was antelope hunting and saw that there was no activity other than the pad was built. So I was wondering the same thing. So I'm glad that this is brought before us here. today and to see what the processes are going. So you mentioned that the estimations or on the availability, is that what you're talking about? It wasn't as expected of the product, the helium product out in the area. And with that lower number coming in, do you see, you said you're in a holding pattern to wait for more results to come back. Would you think that will be available to you within the year, or would another extension need to be filed in 2026?
It's quite possible another extension might be needed to be done, but the results at Thatcher were promising. We did have two appraisal wells we drilled. There was up to 5% helium, which is a world-class helium percentage. The pressures weren't quite as expected. I also want to refer to that BNL, who I'm the chief operating officer, is the operating arm of Blue Star Helium. Blue Star Helium in their announcements lays out how they evaluate these wells and everything. And just want to point out, but yeah, by no means is this area, it still looks promising, but we have a better area right now by Kim, Colorado, we're focusing our efforts on. We're trying to couple our construction with the plant and all the equipment with both properties for efficiencies. But right now we're just request this 1 year extension to keep reevaluating. How we would further evaluate is what probably more with the drill bit or deepening these existing wells. We're looking at all options right now.
And one last question. Have you had contact with the property owners and the mineral rights owners regarding this delay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Having mineral rights in that area, no, I wasn't contacted.
I thought he was referring to Mrs. Catherine Daniels, the property owner. We did not do a reach out program to all the mineral owners out there. We were just focused on the areas where the plant is and the offset leases.
Okay, and now this, if we approve this, this ties it up for another year, maybe two, to where there's no activity. And because you're focusing on the Kim area, is that what I understood you to say?
I'm saying that we're prioritizing activities to Kim. I wouldn't say it's no activity. We've got the area leased up, and we, by all means, hope to go back there, but we're trying to be just a prudent operator and a good business. And right now, our Kim, Colorado area looks a little bit better. So we're focusing on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Lucero, thank you so much for, is there that the resolutions, once we give an extension for a full 12 months, so we would go, this was signed November 21st, 2023, so it would go from today's date to a year from now? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And is that statute or is that county regulation?
It's county regulations.
Okay. Thank you. Now, in the event that they would request, obviously, less than the full year, I would imagine that we can also approve that, or do we have to?
Usually on our land use regulations, it's a year extension.
Okay. But they have requested a 6 month.
Yeah, they requested 6 months.
I would like to get a reef, if I can, I would turn in a request for a 1 year extension. I thought it was 6 months. I was misinformed what the rules state.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you. Anybody else? Any questions?
Mr. Lucero, I don't believe there was any restrictions or when we did this resolution added to this this is a resolution regarding anything out of the ordinary. There's nothing that
No. We
see as well. Okay.
Well, Mr. Conrad, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Our commissioners, any other questions for anyone, Mr. Lucero or Mr. Peter Conrad? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'll make the motion to approve the extension of Resolution 23026 for the Thatcher Helium plant for the county regulations of 1 year.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Pérez Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, everybody.
9J, consideration of letter of support for TSC COSI matching student scholarship grant. Mr. Dorenkamp, although we have the letter, but please.
Commissioner Foy, for your considerations, Commissioner Lopez described the COSI support letter. The board, I believe, has submitted one of these support letters over the last decade, if not longer. So I ask the board to approve this. Get your signatures on it. We can get it to TSC.
Thank you. Commissioners, any discussion on this? Very well worth a letter of support.
After experiencing for this past week, the Trinidad State College basketball tournament and my senior daughter being part of that with the cheer for the basketball teams, it's just amazing to see that this Trinidad State College is still here in our community and offering such great opportunities for this community. Just a comment there. Trinidad.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I think the feeling is mutual. If there is no other discussion, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the letter of support for TSC COSI matching student scholarship grant.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9K, consideration of UMWA 2024-1120 MOU. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, we met with the United Mine Workers Association local recently, and I say we as staff, myself, and discussed and came up with this memorandum of understanding where for year 2025, each employee will receive a 50 cent an hour increase. In addition, the county will increase its insurance payment on behalf of the employee from $690 a month to $775 a month.
Thank you for the work that was done there.
Thank Finance Director Coble.
Bringing all this back to an affordability. So thank you so much. And thank you to all the employees that labor on behalf of the county and the citizens of this county. So commissioners, any questions on this item? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the UMWA 2024-11-20 MOU.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9L, consideration of Colorado Judicial Department grant project completion for 2023 JRNNA UNDR 04B 30,000 courtroom design. Back to you, Mr. Dorenkamp.
I will seek input from Finance Director Coley. Commissioner, this is for one of the underfunded grants. The design on the county courtroom, and Finance Director Coburn can add to this, but part of those monies were reallocated elsewhere. But anyway, I think we're at a point where the design's done, work's done, so we're ready to close this portion. Right?
Yeah, our final payment for the $900,000, they're holding on to it until they get the final completion form. And I'm assuming, I don't know if they need anything else for the HVAC. Do they need any other completion on that?
I think this is the $30,000 for the county courts.
I jumped ahead. This is just the completion form.
Very good. Any other questions? I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the Colorado Judicial Department's grant project completion for 2023. JRNNA UNDR 04B $30,000 courtroom design.
Second in motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9N, consideration of Colorado Judicial Department grant project completion for 2023 JRNNA underfunded 04B $900,000 to ABAC design PDM. Back to you, sir.
Similar to the one that the board just considered, this is for the HVAC portion of the courthouse improvements.
They just didn't say that they're holding on to our retainage, the last portion of it, until we show them that the project is complete. So once we show them, I guess, the project is complete, they'll release the
floor. What is the retainer? The retainage that they have, is that like a 5%?
Yeah, I don't like quickly for you, but yeah, I had submitted the last request to them.
Good.
And they've been hanging on to it for a while.
Well, the punch list is going to be.
We're kind of waiting.
Still blowing cold air, set the heat on it. It's kind of chilly, but
the punch list has been completed. Some other things haven't been completed, but this part of the design, the $900,000 portion has been.
Well, since we started this project many years ago, phase three, I'd be glad to make the motion, Chairman, if there's no more discussion.
Yes, sir.
Approval, the Colorado Judicial Department's grant project completion for 2023, JRNNA UNDR 04B, $900,000 HVAC design.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes, and I was reminded the last time we went out to present at the underfunded, what else are you going to bring back to us? So let's start thinking and see what other grants we apply for, because there is so much that.
And one last comment, Chairman, before we go
into finance
matters. As a reminder to the board, future board, and to staff, when the entire project comes to fruition, if we could have the county do some sort of celebratory day of recognition of all the
absolute
people and the work that are behind the contractors and crews for this great facility. Probably when it's warmer, April or May.
Yes. Going to go now to Section 10, Financial Matters, Consideration of Payroll and Bills. Payroll for the second half of November 2024. Finance Director Poverty.
Payroll as of November 30th, 2024 is $254,608.92. Do you have any questions on payroll?
Not for me.
No. You'll see there's a lot of call-outs, and I think that's from the snowstorm.
Yeah.
You notice on page four.
Yes. And when you think of the call-outs, really the amount wasn't that expensive, you know, the compensation. So thank you to all of those that responded.
And then invoices paid. So got a couple of them. November 20th, 2024, in the amount of $156,465.95. Let's see, and this packet here is the SPLC grant. We paid them $16,120.39. You can still, we're paying the FOP negotiation for the Sheriff Department. This one was $1,265. There was some advertisement for the elections, the notice of elections to Phillips Broadcasting for $882. And that's on that one. Let's see. If there's one more, we did a special run. Let's see, on November 27th, $57,203.79. Within this packet, we did pay a second request for the judge's bench construction of $46,315.57. I think what we owe now is just for the change orders that they have made up there. I think that's our balance, and it's part of the retainage. And then once they do that, then we can pay them off. Yes, what we're advertising, saying for that. And then for what other one are we advertising for? Park Valley. Those two we are advertising so we can make the final payments for them.
Yeah, I thought I saw that in local papers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just the retainage we owe to both of them. That's it.
I would like to know what this outrageous expense on 21st of November for $2.40 at the Kim Outpost store. Was that a single stick of gum?
Do they carry parts? Because there's times I see bits and pieces that look mechanical.
There's occasions when road bridges go in by bolts and nuts. I think the Outpost carries the hodgepodge items. And
yeah.
I've noticed on invoices when I was back over the road bridge, there would be nuts and bolts and hammers and screws and stuff like that, which is good. Keep them busy.
Keep them open.
Yeah, that's
and a hamburger.
That's a huge investment.
Drive to Trinidad, a few bolts, you have one back.
Any additional conversation on these on the financials? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve payroll and bills for the second half of November 2024.
Second.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Biggs Lopez?
Yes. Section 11, executive session. The board will meet an executive session under CRS 24-6424B, conferring with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. A, vacancy, and B, budget. Commissioners, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to suspend this meeting and go into executive session.
So moved.
Second motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, commissioners.
We're good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to exit executive session and resume this regular Board of County Commissioners on this Tuesday, December 10th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Peters Lopez?
Yes. And having no additional items on this agenda, I will entertain a motion to adjourn this regular Board of County Commissioners regular meeting.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Pinks Lopez?
Yes. Thank you all.
Anybody want to read the COG budget?